And the word of the Lord says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord." Let us pray. Father, as we gather here today, Father, you know everything that is going on in our day-to-day, Father, in our lives. Father, it is in your will that we have made it here today, Father. Father, I pray that if there's anything going on in our lives that is hindering us from hearing your word, Father, that we would just ask for forgiveness, Father. Father, that we would just lay it at the cross so that the Holy Spirit can just speak to us through your word, through our pastor, Father, and the words that he has for us, Father. Father, just pray for the Holy Spirit to fill this place and for anyone who does not know Jesus Christ, Father. Maybe today be that day. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. It's good to be back with my brothers and sisters here at Harmony this Sunday. Going on a cruise with my family for the last week. And one of the reasons I choose cruises is because I just don't get any cell service. The cell phone doesn't work. And I don't know about you, but I've become burdened, and it's an ongoing burden, of being so tethered to a device, being so tethered to social media and knowing that these are some good things, but needing a break from them from time to time. And so I enjoy cruises because it takes that out of my hands. I can't do anything about it. But it wasn't long after we got back into U.S. waters that service came back, and so the text started coming in. And it wasn't long after that that I opened it up and jumped on Facebook. And the first thing that I see when I jump on Facebook is a post in Around Richburg that is just complaints about our local schools. Dozens and dozens of these complaints. And these Facebook groups are good. You lose an animal, they'll help you run it down, right? They have some good stuff. But by and large, when you look in these Facebook groups, it is people complaining. And then right after that, the school report cards came out, and people started complaining because the school's report cards were so bad. And so I saw all of this, and I saw the complaints, and I thought, man, that is just the culture that we live in, right? We want to blame somebody else for the issues that are going on in our society. We want to blame the schools. We want to blame the local churches. We just want somebody to blame for our children not being where they need to be, rather than looking in the mirror and saying, these children that God gave me are my responsibility. Their training, their education, their instruction, their discipleship is the responsibility of me as their parent. Now, I hope that you understand that if you are a parent, that is a blessed responsibility. A blessed responsibility. See, children are the most valuable resource that God has given you to steward. And you will never have a greater accomplishment than pointing your children to Jesus. You will accomplish nothing greater than that. And I want you to understand that your stewardship of your children is important, because the way that the church of God loves and nurtures and disciples our children is a direct reflection of the fatherhood of God. See, we model our loving and our nurturing and our discipline after the Heavenly Father. For we are His people who have been called by His name, who have been saved by the blood of His Son. And when people look at our families, the way that we parent, they should be able to see the love of the Father. They should see Him reflected in the way that we parent our children, the way our children obey. We should be gospel parents, full of grace, right? always there to love our children, even when they fall down, even when they fall into sin, always there to say, I love you no matter what, but also always having high expectations for them, holding them accountable to get those expectations. We love them the way God loves us, but have that high expectation. God loves us and He saved us from our sins, knowing that we'll fall, but also said, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Giving us commandments to follow and obey. That is the type of parents that we need to be. And it's not enough just to be here today. It's not enough just to bring your child to church. You bring them here today, you go to Sunday school, you come now, you got 2 hours as compared to the 170-something hours that are left in the week. That the world is beating on them saying, that ain't true. You need to follow your own heart and not what they're telling you. It's not enough. We shouldn't be absent from church because church attendance is commanded. Hebrews 10:25, don't neglect to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. But if Sunday morning for an hour is the only discipleship that your child is getting, then there is little wonder that there is a mass exodus away from the church when all these children turn 18. So what we're seeing in the world today is that we have been raising generations that do not know the Lord. They may go to church, they may come be brought up in Christian homes, but they are not taught to truly follow Jesus. Look around. 80% of them, 18, are going to walk out the door of the church and only 40% of them ever come back. That means the majority of the children that are 18 and above do not know the Lord. It's the same thing that happened in Joshua's time, right? Joshua, God brought them into the promised land. He drove out their enemies before them. He said, follow me, be obedient to me, and do the things that I have commanded. They see this land flowing with milk and honey, and they get to possess it. And then after Joshua and his generation died, the first couple of verses of Judges say, there arose a generation that did not know God. While they had been obedient, while Joshua and his generation had been obedient, they had not been obedient to teach them everything that they needed to put on display the faith that was needed in their own hearts. And we're doing the same thing today. And we can't blame anybody else. We can't look at the churches around us or the schools around us and say, they're failing our children. If our children get to be 18 years old and don't know the Lord, that lies at our feet. At our feet. See, your children, contrary to popular belief, do not need more stuff. Your kid doesn't need another toy. It doesn't need another game system. He or she doesn't need any more stuff. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And whether you like it or not, you have more impact on whether your child will get to Jesus than anybody else in the world. You as their parents. They need to see it. They need to be shown the splendor and majesty of Christ and the joy that He brings to our lives. They need to hear Jesus' name and the praise of that name on your lips and see His impact in your life. Because they're looking. They're looking. Your children look to you to get to know Jesus. And if they don't see Him in you, they will not see any reason for Him to be in them. Now, God will save our children despite us if He so desires, but we as believers should never be hurdles to the faith of our children. We should never cause them to stumble. And children, as you're here today, as you might be adult children with living parents, you're not helpless in this. Many of us rebel simply because we're sinful. My mother said, amen. Rightfully so. From 16 to 21, I did not talk to my mother. Living in my self-centeredness and sinful desire, I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. But at 20 years old, sitting in Fort Long Baptist Church, God gave me a new heart. I heard the gospel for the first time, was convicted of my sins, and put my faith in Jesus. I was reconciled to God, and shortly thereafter, I was reconciled to my mother, who went on that cruise for a week with us last week. This is what God does. This is what the gospel does. But children, we are to be obedient. See, the parent-child relationship should be second only to our relationship with God in terms of showing honor and respect. It is commanded. And it is what Jesus did. We went through a whole series, right, on look like Jesus. What did Jesus do to the Father? He was obedient to the point of death. That is our model, that we are to obey and honor our mother and father. And it was important for Paul to write this because in the Jewish culture of the time, in the Greco-Roman culture that Paul's writing into, they saw Christianity as trying to be subversive to the family unit, to shake up the family as it existed, because Jesus said things that seemed to say that, right? He said things like Luke 14:26, where he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And it seemed like he was calling them to walk away from their families. When in reality, he was just saying, the way you love me, all other loves have to pale by comparison, because it's only through loving me that you can truly love them. And so Paul writes these house codes, Ephesians 5:22-6:4. He writes them in order to show that rather than destroying families, Jesus was calling people to live in the strength of God's design, his true design for the family. See, we as God's people are to be examples to the world of how God designed families to exist. They are to look at us and say, that is the model of family. And that is what God has called us all to be. And that is how society is to be founded. That's what he says here, right? Just with children and parents, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is how we are to live as families, as followers of Jesus. And Paul speaks first to children. This was my southern translation of what Paul says here in verses 1 and 2, okay? Children, for the love of God, do what your mama and daddy say when they say it. Show them respect and behave in such a way that makes people say your parents raised you right and so be a benefit to society. He's referring to younger children in the home because he talks about in verse 4, bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So he's talking about the ones that are still in the home. And he's writing about believing children, right? Children of believers. While it's right for all children to be obedient, and we should have that expectation as parents, the ideal family that Paul is describing here, beginning in verse 22 of chapter 5, revolves around being filled with the Spirit of God, and your child doesn't have that until they have made a profession of faith. See, apart from Jesus, children are sinners, just like apart from Christ, we are sinners. That means children don't know how to truly be obedient. In fact, they are being obedient just to their sinful flesh when they're doing all that crazy stuff that drives you crazy. It is only by the power of God and the gospel and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that they become capable of true obedience. So your three-year-old is not disobedient just because they want to irritate you. Your three-year-old is disobedient because he or she is sinful. And no amount of punishment or yelling or bribery is going to change that nature. We should certainly punish that disobedience because we are called to instruct them and to teach them even before they come to faith in how they should behave and what God expects of them. But we do it with the patient understanding that we are doing so to help them come to faith in Jesus. See, so many parents lose their minds with their children's behavior and yell and scream and spank and want to pull their hair out when their child's just living out their sinful flesh, their sinful nature. All of us need to have this understanding. Every parent in here needs to understand that your children are sinners in need of a Savior. That is the ultimate goal of your parenthood, is to get them to the Savior. All the yelling and screaming in the world is not going to transform your child. Only Jesus can do that. You correct them and correct them and correct them and spank them for their own good, if needed to keep them safe and functioning in society. But you also, this is where the priority should be, you pray for them. You read the gospel to them over and over and over. And you explain that their life is to be lived for the glory of God, that they have a higher calling than merely having their behavior changed, that God is calling them to live in a way that brings Him glory and to live that life forever. You read them the scriptures day by day and you pray out loud, God, save my child, every night, most every night. As I lay down with my girls, Lillian's the only one that hadn't made a profession of faith, I pray out loud, God, save Lillian. Bring her to saving faith. Let her see her sin and let her see the beauty of Jesus. They need to hear that on your lips, that you are concerned more about their soul than you are them not embarrassing you in that aisle in Walmart. And children, if you have been saved by grace and dwelled with the Holy Spirit, then you can obey your parents and you should. Paul says you should because it is right. What does he mean there? It is fitting with righteousness. That if you have been saved, you have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and you being obedient to your parents is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a sign that God has truly saved you and indwelled you with the Holy Spirit. You don't obey just to obey. You obey because Jesus died so that you could. That He went to the cross so that you could say, I'm going to do what my mama and daddy say to do when they say to do it. And it doesn't matter if you think a family rule is stupid. It doesn't matter if you think your parents just don't understand what it's like to be a kid in 2023. None of that matters. You obey because your Savior died so that you could, and it brings Him glory when you do. Children, I want you to understand something. Your parents have likely never been at the point in life that they are right now, right? They are at a new place for them. They are being sanctified in a new way right now. They've never been in this phase of life before. I've never raised a preteen before. I'm learning how to do that. And it's a struggle. But children, your parents need as much grace in their sanctification as you need in yours. Just as I've never been a parent of a preteen, he's never been a preteen. So there's grace upon grace that needs to be offered there. But your obedience is not about your parents. It's about God's design for the family, about what He has commanded. See, it doesn't even matter if your parents are Christian or not. If God has saved you and they tell you to do something that's not sinful, you do it because of your relationship with Jesus, not because of your parents' wisdom or worth. Children, your parents aren't perfect. But God's design for the family is. I don't want you to misunderstand, though. This is not blind obedience. This is primarily for older children that I'm talking to right now. But if you measure and discern by the Holy Spirit that your parents are asking you to do something sinful, then you don't do it. If your parents ask you to lie for them, you should not do it. You should say, I have to obey God. If your parents ask you to steal for them, you should not do it. If your parents offer you drugs or alcohol, you should not do it. And I would love to think that that would never happen, but I was in student ministry for a long time and I saw it over and over and over and over again. And to that, parents, you're not called to be a cool parent. You're not called to permit sin because they might be doing it somewhere else. You are called to point your children to Jesus and to set the example of what it means to follow Jesus. Time and again, I hear people talk about, well, if they do it at my house, at least I know they're safe. Their soul is not. Their soul is not. And here's the warning of Jesus for those that will cause one of his little ones to stumble from Matthew 18:6, just in case you missed it. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. You're not called to be cool. You're called to be the disciple that your parent, that your children need you to be as a parent, to point them to Jesus. Honor and obey your mother and father. That's hard, isn't it, kids? I never got this quite right. I was bad from early on. Paul and Billy, I tell you. Frowny face every day of kindergarten, threw a desk at a teacher in third grade. You heard about my teenage years. I just didn't get it. I wasn't saved. I couldn't. But if you have been saved, if Jesus has spoken into your heart and you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, then that's what you're called to do, to honor your mother and father. And honoring your parents means living for the glory of God, first and foremost. Obedience to the Lord, a life that glorifies God, is honoring to your parents, even if they don't believe in God, because through your behavior, your parents may see the truth of God's power. They may see the difference Jesus makes. And it's commanded over and over and over again in the Scriptures. Chapter 6, verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment of the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. That's a quote from two Old Testament scriptures. Exodus 20:12, the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. In Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And not only is it here in Ephesians 6, it's also in Matthew 15:4 and Matthew 19:19, in Mark 7:10 and in Mark 10:19 and in Luke 18:20. Something that's commanded that many times is vital for us to obey. Yet in our culture, as society continues to try and destroy the family, control everything in God's design, children are taught, even celebrated, for not honoring and obeying their mother and father. Young people become famous today for videos of them disrespecting and dishonoring their mother and fathers. In fact, the court system is so skewed now that dishonoring your parents is legal. You can go behind their back and have your gender reassigned without them even knowing at 13 years old. All of it to subvert God's plan for the family, to say you can do things without your parents' approval because you create your own truth. Because you are a god unto yourself. See, Satan wants to tear down God's design for families. And why does he want to tear down God's design for families? Because he knows how powerful Christ-centered and Christ-exalting and Spirit-filled families can be. That they are the building block of all society. That's what God is calling us to be and what we need to walk in. Ephesians 5:22-6:4 all work together to create a Spirit-filled family. If we walk outside of this in any way, mothers and fathers, if you don't love one another, if you don't, fathers, if you don't lay down your life for your wife, wives, if you don't submit to your husbands, if y'all dishonor and disrespect one another, guess what's going to happen with your children? They're going to dishonor and disrespect your husband or your wife. And we should demand that that not happen. We must set the example, and then we have to demand it. When my children raise their voice to their mother, I don't say don't talk to your mama like that. I say don't talk to my wife like that. I tell them I wouldn't let anybody else in this world talk to her like that. You're not going to talk to her like that. I demand that they respect her because God has commanded that I do that. See, we've made it so easy, and we're so accepting of disrespect, but we take it too lightly. The punishment in the Old Testament for dishonoring your parents was death. It was death. And now, as we walk around this society, it's a manner of life that leads to material success. Do it all you want to. We'll give you a record deal. We'll make you an advertiser for all these products. Children, this type of behavior may be celebrated by the world and may seem normal, but a lifestyle of dishonoring your parents is a terrible life and has no part with a spirit-filled life. Will you get angry and lash out? Will you be frustrated? Will you be sarcastic with your parents? Sometimes, yes. But when that comes, you must repent. It's far better to honor and obey your parents because it is a sign that you belong to Jesus. And it brings them glory. And children that honor and obey their mothers and fathers, they bring order and stability to society. See, people that aren't taught to honor and obey their mother and father don't honor and obey anybody. That's why we got people that lash out at teachers and cops and all these other people because nobody's ever taught them that they're supposed to honor and obey anybody. To honor and obey your mother, father's breeds order and stability. That's what he means when he writes that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land in verse 3. He's not promising you're going to live to 100 years old. He's promising that if you obey your parents, then you will benefit the whole of society. Because those that will obey their mother and father will also obey and honor other adults, others in positions of power. Children, this is not to be joyless obedience, but joyful obedience. It's not like, I guess if I have to, I'm going to go do it. You know, we've all been there, right? This is to be obedience that you say, I know my mother and father love me. I know Jesus died for me, and so I'm going to go do what they asked me to do out of love for them. Even if it's something you don't like to do, you can do it joyfully because of the great love your parents have for you. And what they're asking you to do is being asked so that you become a God-glorifying young man or young woman. But in any civilization where disobedience and disrespect for parents is tolerated and celebrated, there is moral decay. And are we not living this truth? You could not pay me enough to be a teacher today in any type of institution. When children can cuss out their parents and other adults with no punishment, they will become adults that do the same thing to anybody in authority. And it's not the school's fault. It's not your church's fault. If your kid's acting like that, you got to look in the mirror and say, I am doing something wrong. And you can't just excuse your kid. You can't just say, oh, my little angel. You need to say, oh, I know it's that little sinner. Because that's what they are. They need to be held accountable. School systems aren't perfect. Churches aren't perfect. None of that's perfect. But your child is your responsibility to raise. And today our nation is filled with grown children who respect nothing, not even themselves, because they've been raised in homes that allowed them to behave however they wanted without any accountability. And that is sin. Raising your children that way is sin. And I've been saying parents a lot, but fathers, God has tasked us with being the leaders in the training of our children. Fathers, that means that you are to teach them and nurture them in how to give you honor and obedience and obey all the commands of God. That's what he says in verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Man, you got to love your children enough to discipline them, but to discipline them in love and with their best interests at heart, to discipline them so that they will look at Jesus and say, He is all I need and my Father loves me because He's pointing me to Him all the time. See, back in Paul's time, children were little more than property. Fathers could beat their children into submission. They did something they didn't like. They just beat them until they were a pile of bruised and bloodied mess and left them there. They ran terrified from their parents. And Paul's saying, that's not what you should do. That's not how you raise your children, because he says, do not provoke them to anger. Do not provoke them to anger. Do not treat them in such a way that they're going to be angry about the discipline, but help them see that the discipline is there for their good. See, there's no place for mockery in the father-child relationship. There's no place for you beating them black and blue because they inconvenience you. Your job is not to break your child, but to bend their sinful will and build them up in the Lord, to nurture them and to help them grow up in the Lord. Mothers, you are to hold your husband accountable to be this type of father. That's your role. You undergird all of it. You support it. But you hold him accountable if he's shirking the responsibility of being the man of God that you married, the man of God that God's calling him to be. You hold him accountable and say, you're the one that's supposed to be doing this. Mothers have a hand in it, but fathers, it is your responsibility from the Lord to teach and disciple your children, to live out Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. Where it says, and these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Men, I think if we're honest, many of us have given our God-given responsibilities to our wives and to the school systems and to the churches. We said, I'm going to send you somewhere else and they're going to do everything that God commanded me to do. Calling ourselves providers, we have failed to provide the godly example that our children need. God gave you your children. He gave you your children. He commands you to teach them. The word discipline in verse 4 is paideia. And it means the whole training and education of your children, the cultivation of their mind and morals, from the tops of their heads, men, to the bottom of their feet, and to the deepest recesses of their hearts and minds. You are to help them be filled with the Word, to know who God is, what Jesus did for them, and how to live for Him. That is your job, men. That is my job as a father. Your children are not burdens to be cast off on your wives or teachers. They are your responsibility. You got to view them as such, not as burdens standing in your way, but as your greatest accomplishment. Listen to how Solomon describes children in Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb are a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. A heritage from the Lord. A reward. Arrows in the hands of a warrior. A blessing to the man that fills his quiver with them. That is what your children are. Is that how you're viewing them? Is that how you're treating them? Dads, your greatest earthly blessing is to raise your children, to craft these precious arrows into Christ-centered, God-glorifying projectiles of light to be fired out into the darkness of this world and make a difference for Jesus. The greatest accomplishment you'll ever have is seeing them walk with the Lord and then seeing others glorify God because of that child you raised. No one else can do this job like you can because no one else was given this job. Nobody else was given that responsibility for your children. And the greatest way for you to bring up your kids, to disciple them the way God has commanded, is for them to see you live it, to see that Jesus truly matters. See, the Spirit-filled life is caught more than it's taught. They need to see a Bible in your hand. They need to hear you singing the praises to the Lord as you go through your day. They need to see you honor and obey your own parents. They need to see that you aren't perfect, that you sin, but that when you do, you hit your knees and say, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." They need to see you go and apologize to your wife when you were harsh with her. They need you to come to them and apologize to them when you're harsh with them and bring them to anger. They need to see the difference that the grace of Jesus makes in our lives. Your sons need to see you be a man that they can model themselves after, and your daughters need to see you be a man that that'll be the type of man that they will marry. They need you to correct them, spanking them if necessary, but also say, "I'm doing this because I love you and I want you to learn." The one that doesn't discipline doesn't love. God disciplines us because He loves us. That's what Hebrews 12, 6, beginning in verse 6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives." Discipline is not evil. It is loving. And God's fatherhood is our example. Think of the amount of love He had. The love of the Father that He would send His Son Jesus to die to save us. The love of the Father that He would give us His Word to tell us the way we must live, the way we might be saved. And that He would send us His Holy Spirit that we might learn what this Word means. He loves us enough to hold us accountable and discipline us when we disobey. He loves us enough that He's always there to help us when we fall down. He loves us enough that we can always call out to Him and He will deliver us from evil. And He builds us up by His power through it all so that we can spend forever with Him. Isn't that what you want for your child? That they will be with you in glory. More than them being able to hit a home run or make $1 million, whatever, you need to teach your child that true success in this life is knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because all the money in the world won't save them. All the fame and accolades won't save them. Only Jesus Christ will save them. If God has made you a father, the command to discipline and instruct your children in the Lord should be the most important task of your daily life. You get up with that on your mind. How will I point my child to Jesus today? I don't want you to let this word beat you down in shame if you've failed to do that in the past. I don't want shame to have any part of this, because if you have failed, you have a loving Heavenly Father that's saying, "Come on, let's try again. I'm going to help you up and I'm going to help you walk this out with your kids." It's never too late to start. You can stand up today and say, "I will be the God, the father that God has called me to be. I will be the man that God has called me to be. I will raise my children the way God has commanded." And today you begin to teach your children about the Lord, even if they're grown. Never too late to start. Children, today can be the day where you honor and obey your mother and father, even if you never have before. God commanded it. Jesus died so you could obey. And the Spirit of God empowers you to obey. Don't waste another day. Start building the family God desires for you right now. Repent of everything that's come before and say, "God, give me the strength to do what You've commanded today." We're going to talk about some ways to do that over the next few weeks, but this week what I want you to do is I want you to pray together. I want you to read Scripture together. And I want you to worship the Lord with your family at home and not just at church. Sing His praises together. Talk about how great He is. I want you to watch the difference that makes. Let us pray. Father in heaven, parenting is the hardest thing that I have ever done, and yet the most rewarding thing that I have ever done. I know that all parents will have struggles and failings, but I know, God, that Your grace is sufficient for all of that. That You do what we cannot. But I pray that we, as Your people, will pursue this. That we will raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Desiring more than anything, willing to die for it even, that they might come to know Jesus. I pray for the one that's here today, God, that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. God, the one that's lost in their sin, I pray, God, that right now they will know that they have fallen short of your glory. That they have sinned and fallen short of your glory. They have made themselves the God of their own life. They have dishonored their mother and father. And God, that to be guilty of one, breaking one of your laws is to be guilty of breaking them all. And that the wages of sin is death. But that right now, God, even though they know that they are a sinner, they could see that the free gift of God, your free gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That they might confess with their mouth in this moment that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that you raised Jesus from the dead and they would live with him as the Lord of their life. God, bring salvation to them that as they rise up, they may be the father or mother or child that they need to be because you have saved them. You have empowered them with your Spirit. God, work as only you can to make a Spirit-filled families that bring glory to your name and draw more to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we come to our time of response, the altar will be open. If I would encourage you that if your parenting has fallen short, that today would be a day that you repent. If you have been dishonoring and disobedient to your mother or father, you might go to them and pray with them in this moment, asking them to forgive you and asking God to forgive you, that you might glorify God with your obedience. Please stand as we sing.